Today's July 14th, 2024. Current Bitcoin price is $60,274.
Welcome to the BitByte podcast, your source for news and information about Bitcoin and the cryptocurrency space. This podcast is meant for educational and entertainment purposes only and is not financial advice.
What's going on, Rick?
Oh, you know, just surviving.
Surviving?
Like surviving.
Like somebody else?
Like somebody else? No, somebody else is lucky to have survived.
Yeah, no, that was a very close call.
Indeed. And obviously, that somebody else is Donald Trump.
Yeah. There's articles that are coming out today basically saying that Bitcoin is looking to rally due to his re-election chances increasing now after having survived an assassination attempt.
Yeah. Well, just spitballing here, I was thinking, or I was looking at something with Reagan. You know, he had that assassination attempt right early in his presidency. Mm-hmm. And afterwards, he had like a 22% bump in approval rating.
Yeah.
Immediately afterwards. And
I'm pretty sure that whole thing that happened, the debacle, and it's horrible to see in general, and it's kind of shocking to see, but I'm pretty sure he clinched re-election. There's no doubt in my mind, aside from them actually somebody assassinating him, I don't see how he's not going to win this election.
Yeah, basically, they got to actually finish the job next time. Otherwise, he's president. Is what you're saying?
Yeah, I hate to sound like because we try to stay fairly unpolitical, but not really. Because we have the only thing that we really discuss politically on this thing is that we do have one political topic that we will vote on, right? And that happens to be Bitcoin. He came out of that with the best PR that you could imagine.
Yeah.
Standing there with blood on his face, fist in the air, American flag behind him. Meanwhile, you've got Biden calling Zelensky Putin.
or his VP, Trump.
Yeah. So, I'm pretty sure, this is secured, this election for Trump. And, for the Bitcoin aspect, and you brought up an interesting theory on this too, but for the Bitcoin aspect, I think what's really cool about that, though, is that he has come out openly endorsing Bitcoin.
No, he's been courting the Bitcoin crowd. He went and spoke at the Libertarian Convention, and there's a lot of Bitcoin, pro-Bitcoin people there, and he's talking about how he was going to not allow CBDCs, and he was going to allow Bitcoin to happen. And, encourage crypto growth in America.
Yeah. Yeah. And realistically, we've seen it from a few different presidential candidates so far. Like RFK Jr. has done it. Vivek kind of pretty openly supported Bitcoin. Now Trump is doing that for sure. Biden, obviously, he's not been pro-Bitcoin whatsoever. Yeah, he's going to be at the Bitcoin 2024 conference in Nashville that you were bringing up. And there was something else that you were talking about that you were kind of alluding to that I think is kind of important to bring up. We're seeing a price rally in a time of chaos.
Yeah.
And you've made a correlation there.
Yeah, for a while, Bitcoin is trading between 60 and 70, and that was its range. And then recently it dipped, going all the way down to 52,000 roughly.
Yeah.
And it hadn't really crossed back up over 60 until the assassination attempt.
Yeah.
Which it's just kind of fascinating. And that's the thing, something I've been thinking about, at least recent history, the past year and a half, Bitcoin's rallying cry has been chaos. Chaos pushes people towards Bitcoin, or it seems to help Bitcoin's price. The previous example of this that I can think of on a much larger scale was the Silicon Valley Bank collapse back in March 2023.
Mm-hmm.
It was like Bitcoin is trading at 20 roughly, and then that happens, and overnight it's at 30,000. And it really didn't go back down afterwards. So the only thing I'm saying is I think Bitcoin is the stabilizing force in this chaotic world. And I think this is just a taste of things to come this year, at least for Americans and probably the rest of the world just by proxy.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you on that. I mean, we saw Bitcoin, you know, when you talked about that Silicon Valley collapse, it did exactly what Bitcoin was designed to do that day. You know?
Right.
It rallied into the chaos and did what we've always believed it would do.
Yep, and there was a lot of people that were fearing that there were going to be much larger systemic failures across the banking system. And for whatever reason, it's been held off. But, I mean, it's not like I think our banking system is sound or anyone else's banking system that is built on fiat is sound.
Yeah.
It's all a house of cards.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, I mean, it's horrible to see what did take place, but I'm glad to see that Bitcoin's kind of rebounding in a good way. I'm curious to see what the market's going to do on Monday. You know, if because the weekend, you can never trust the weekend movements. And something I want to bring up is last week we had talked about this before the weekly close, and I had said, you know, if we close below, was it 57.8? And we did close below that. I was like, man, that's not, I didn't say that at the time. I did say at the time that I think that was scary, like that's not good. But we'll see what happens starting Monday morning if this rally kind of continues.
Indeed.
And we still have the weekly close coming up this evening, you know. Are we going to rally into it? It seems like we are. Because typically when you get this kind of momentum going into later on Sunday, typically you'll see some sort of a crazy rallying reaction that'll take place. Question for you. How are our theoretical purchases doing right now?
Okay, theoretical purchases, 0.0885 Bitcoin bought back in October would cost you $3,000. Now, today, it's not doing too bad. I mean, you've sitting on $2,000 plus profit, so it's $5,334.
Okay.
The second theoretical was right at the halving, which was like April 20th, April 19th, and it was basically $64,000 at that point, so obviously, you've lost some money there at 6274, so it's only worth 943.
Okay, so one of them is still underwater slightly, and then the other one is still in a pretty good profit range.
And indeed.
One of the things that I think is really interesting, too, is we look at this chart, and there's so much fear in the market right now, and we didn't bring up the Fear and Greed Index. I think we talked about it the last episode, but we're still in extreme fear when you look at the Fear and Greed Index. But when you look at this month so far, starting from, June 25th, like every day within the Bitcoin ETF, the flows there, they're all positive except for the second and the third.
Yep.
We've had huge amounts of buying that's been going on. Maybe not the biggest, like especially towards the end of the month of June, but going into this collapse that we saw within the price, Wall Street's buying it up.
Yeah, especially this past week.
Yeah. Yeah, you had, what, on Friday, 310 million in one day?
Yep. No, that's a good sign. I mean, that's showing where a lot of smart money is going, right?
Yeah, and that's the thing I think is the kind of the interesting contrast. You've got people scared that are selling off, but then you got Wall Street's like, sell it to me.
We'll take that off your hands.
Yeah.
At a discount.
Yep, absolutely. I don't know. Kind of crazy to see that kind of contrast of people getting scared and that, you know, all this stuff's going to happen. And Wall Street's like, we will take those coins off your hands. We will buy them cheap. And people keep doing it. I don't know what else to say about that other than that people keep doing it.
Well, all we have to say is, say, you know, the theoretical purchase that we did, $1,000 right at the halving.
Yeah.
We're still negative on that one.
But we are.
4 years from that date, we're going to be sitting pretty. I don't care where it's at.
Yeah.
I mean, it always takes 4 years. 4 years or longer.
Yeah.
If you're able to buy onto something and hold on to it that whole time, no, there's no going back after that.
Right. Yeah. I mean, $1,000 right now that was thrown into Bitcoin in 4 years, it's probably going to be worth, I don't know what we, so, I mean, think about that, though. We saw basically $3,000 double, right? It's not right now. Right now we're at 2,000 and some change, but we saw it double within less than a year's time frame.
Yeah.
So, I mean, $1,000 in 4 years, if we saw it double in less than a year's time frame, I mean, you can kind of do some math on that, but I mean, what, you're looking at maybe, could be a $10,000 purchase at that point in 4 years?
Yeah. Well, just think about it this way. If you would have bought, I don't know what the price exactly was, you know, July 14th, 2020.
Mm-hmm.
It was somewhere in the neighborhood of $10,000. But if you would have bought and held on that whole time, you would have ridden through one bull cycle and through one winter, and you'd be sitting at, let's say it was, just for the sake of saying, we'll say it was like 11,000. You could probably look it up.
Yeah, I was looking to see right now. I was looking to see what the actual price was. July 14th, 2020. Doing it the old-fashioned way. Keep talking. Keep saying what you were saying.
Yeah. So you take that price, I mean, whatever it was worth, and I'm saying it's somewhere around 10, 11, somewhere in there. And my memory's kind of rough on that. But if you've held on that whole time, you've ridden through one complete bull cycle, you've gone through a full winter, and then you're starting a second bull cycle. Not even finished this second bull cycle, and it's already multiplied itself many times over.
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy to think of that long term. And that's the thing with Bitcoin, is you've always got to take that long term angle on it. Like, you never want to just go ahead.
Well, let's just assume it was 12,000. We don't have to know the exact number, but let's say it was roughly 12,000 at the time. Right now it's worth 60,000. So that's a fivefold increase in that 4 years.
Yeah. It's guaranteed that you basically, if you can buy it and hold on to it, you're going to do okay. The other thing that we had that was some big news is CPI numbers came out for the month of June. And we should have actually talked about this probably earlier in the week, but I think we just did not have time to be able to get together.
Yeah. Conflict of schedules.
Yeah. So CPI came out and we came in at 3% for the headline CPI. And so, I mean, for the first time, we're seeing some reductions, which whether that's true or not, like gas to me seems like it's starting to creep back up. But I mean, that's typical during the summer, especially around 4th of July. And core inflation rose to about 3.3. So I don't know. The Fed is making some big talk about looking like rate cuts are coming probably September.
September, that'd be the spot where they might do it.
Yeah. And then we're looking at, the, you know, and they've talked about all of a sudden like having 4 rate cuts. So I don't know if what they're seeing on the outlook looks a little bit shakier than what, you know, they may be telling us in one way, shape, or form. Would you be surprised by that?
4 rate cuts, I would be surprised. I mean, I think there's going to be rate cuts, but 4 starting in September, that just seems a little bit much.
Yeah. That would be one basically every month, right?
Basically.
Yeah. So, I don't know. We've talked about this before. With the CPI numbers, we don't trust the outlook on them. I mean, the one thing that I will say that's a positive is that lower interest rates is good for Bitcoin. Typically has been in the past. And that's usually because people become riskier. And if we've gotten $60,000 with a, you know, in a climate that they consider risk off, I would say, like, if rates continue to go down, then Bitcoin may continue to kind of rally into that.
Yeah, well, one thing that I'm thinking about, I do think that there's definitely a slowing of economic activity, and maybe that's why inflation is going down. The one thing I know it definitely hasn't gone down much on is the cost of living.
Yeah.
That's just ridiculous. We have a friend that bought a house recently, kind of a small place, and, you know, with the high interest rates and his payment on it, we were just like kind of scratching our head going, oh my goodness.
Yeah. He bought, I mean, I don't want to toss him under the bus or anything, but he bought like maybe a 1500 square foot home, maybe. And his payment is just through the roof, and it's all because of that interest rate.
Yeah.
He's paying almost as much as what I'm paying for my house. And I'm like, yeah, that's substantial.
No, that's pretty nuts. But I mean, that's the one thing I think that's really going to be holding the CPI up longer is the cost of living. So, I mean, all we need is a market crash to really bring that down.
Really kind of just rein all that back in.
Rein it all back in.
Yeah.
There goes your soft landing.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't know, the job market, like I told you before, well, I don't know if we've talked about it on here or not, but my company was doing reductions again. They weren't doing what would be a typical RIF, but they were doing strategic removals of people. And at the same time, it's not that they're, you know, the company's doing bad. They've actually had quarter after quarter of record-breaking profits and all this other stuff. But it's like, yeah, they're doing some cutbacks. So the outlook on the future is still kind of flat, and maybe, you know, start of a cool down. But at the same time, Trump did a really good job for the country when it came to manufacturing and most enterprises, for the most part. Economically speaking, he didn't do a bad job. And if he gets reelected, I think that'll kind of rally into that.
I, you know, one can hope, but in times of chaos, the only thing I really do put my trust is not any politician. It's not any political party. It's nothing. No man. It's Bitcoin.
Yeah. Good call. Good. Well said, sir. Well said. Yeah. So, yeah, we're sorry. We're getting some of this stuff out a little bit late to you, but just that CPI thing, I kind of really wanted to bring that up. And then everybody's going to be talking about Trump. You're going to hear about it for a little while. So those of you that are listening globally, sorry, you're going to be probably, I don't know how much your news is affected by what's happening in the States, but that's pretty sure you guys are going to get your fill of that as well.
I don't know. I think a lot of the world is, I wouldn't say, they might be sick of the American soap opera, but there's got to be some fascination going on with it, because it's pretty surreal just watching it happen myself.
Yeah, watching it play out.
Yeah, it was like, dang, this is reality.
Yeah, and that was, yeah, yeah, yeah. So, anyways, what's your predictions for this next week? Do you think we're going to continue to kind of rally into the week?
I don't know. I'm not particularly confident either way. I mean, my guess is we're going to kind of hover around the same price for a little while until something else happens, and then who knows which direction it's going to go after that.
Yeah, I did want to touch on one thing real quick. The ETH ETF, like, I've been waiting to see when that's going to launch, and I couldn't find like an actual date for it yet. I did see an advertisement the other day, kind of like what we saw with Bitcoin about a month in advance of the Bitcoin ETF launch. So I did see an ad the other day. So I'm wondering if we're going to start to see something here pretty soon with the ETH ETF. And I think, you know, that could be a little bit of a rally. I don't know if it's going to be positive to Bitcoin's price. Maybe people are going to buy both. I don't know. I don't know if they're going to sell out of their Bitcoin ETF and move into ETH, or if they're just going to stack on both sides of that. So,
well, the last I heard was September, and it wouldn't surprise me either way. I mean, all the question I have is how much did Grayscale have in ETH?
We'll see. I mean, because they do have a Grayscale ETH ETF trust. I think they've got one as well, like they had with the Bitcoin. So they could dump into the market just like they did previously.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to expect to happen. Let's keep it real. If Grayscale's in there, they're going to just be offloading.
Yeah, because so we were looking at this, and we talked about the charts a little bit, but just to put that in perspective, basically Grayscale has still, at this point, they've sold $18 billion worth of Bitcoin since this.
18.6 billion,
yeah. So.
Yeah. And just to put that into scale, then IBIT has bought 18.2.
Yeah.
So they sold more Bitcoin than even IBIT
has purchased. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, it's pretty nuts. I mean, altogether, the ETFs have done fairly well, I'd say. I mean, they're at 15.8 billion. But, I mean, could you imagine what the price would be? Do you think the price would almost be, how would that equate if Grayscale had been able to retain what they had and all these purchases had gone on? Do you think we'd almost be double?
Oh, yeah, we'd be in the six figures for sure. My guess is, but you know, it is what it is, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Who knows? We'll have to see what kind of plays out. I think I'm fairly bullish going into this next week. But we'll see. We'll have to see what the weekly close brings again. If we can stay above 60, then yeah, I'm definitely thinking we're a little bit more bullish this next week. That I think we'd probably get up to about 64, 65 this next week. If it can hold, into tonight, but we'll have to play it by ear.
Fear.
Yeah. Yeah. Also we have the glossary up, or the most commonly used kind of terms on the website. We also have the newsletter sign up that's still available. And then you can also purchase your hardware wallet through links on our website. And that gives us a little bit of a kickback, helps support the podcast. So
that's, you know, we also have the crypto checklist. So when you are offloading your crypto, you know, not your keys, not your crypto, we also give that as part of signing up for our newsletter. So,
yeah, we do give you a free gift for doing that with us. And we are really planning on having like a educational corner coming up here on the episodes here pretty soon, where we want to take just a few minutes and maybe kind of go through some of these terms that people may not understand. So.
Absolutely.
Anything else you wanted to bring up?
That's it for me.
All right. Well, thank you all for listening. And we do hope that everybody is peaceful around the world and nothing else crazy happens over at least another week.
Indeed.
Thanks for listening.